Let's pray. Lord, Lord, we ask you to bless this time. We ask you to speak to us. You ask us to come as we are, but you hope that we're not going to leave the way we came. So that's what we're praying for, change lives, change our hearts, change our minds, transform our wills. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So my wife is teaching the women. And of course, you know, we wanted to be on the same page, so I showed her my notes. She read my notes and she said, I would like to be married to that guy that you just described in your notes. So this is how realistic this Bible study is. I'm not speaking from experience, as in I'm not speaking as somebody who has acquired these things, but somebody who aims at these things. So, and it's all, well, mostly from the Bible. So let's look at it. She also said that I should warn you of two things. First, that I like statistics. So you'll be hearing a lot of statistics. She knows me really well. She gets bored when I talk, so she's like, okay, I'm going to sleep. But and the other thing is that should any of you think that I am male chauvinistic, you should know that I am not. She's a former feminist. Now she's saved.
Praise the Lord!
Her role model in life was Carla del Ponte, the chief persecutor for the UN Criminal Court. So she's maybe part Viking. I don't know. She's very feisty. So okay, whatever you think I said, if it's male chauvinistic, I didn't say it, okay? Because I didn't intend it to be male chauvinistic. My goal is not to belittle women, so that's why I'm talking about men. And the message God put on my heart is going to be maybe uncomfortable for some people. But I'm glad Phil said that the Bible, or God, never intended for us to feel very comfortable, but rather make us feel challenged on so many different levels. So I believe that this world, I believe that Christianity in general, is lacking men. I don't know if you've noticed that or you haven't, but men are nowhere to be found. And it's getting worse and worse. For the last 10 years, I've been teaching at a Bible college in Hungary, and every year we have less and less men. And it's not the numbers, and it's not nationalities. I mean, we're not working with a small pool of numbers. It's basically about 110 students, maybe 45 to 50 men, males, and it's students from China and Pakistan and India through Europe all the way to America and Canada and New Zealand, and we find the same thing, that men are missing. They're not there. And they are the same age, 18 to 22, 24, but it's getting worse and worse. I mean, they're failing academically. The homework is always less and less serious. And still, the grades are lower and lower, and it's usually just with the men. We have serious problems with people just not doing their homework and just copy-pasting off the internet. And you're thinking, this is Bible college. You should know better not to cheat. We have guys more and more who just don't know how to have conversations or build relationships. And so I started researching this topic. Why is this way? Here's the first verse I want to share with you. It's from Acts. We're studying the first half of Acts. This is from the second half of Acts, Acts 16, verse 26. Paul is in Philippi, and this is the incident when he was thrown into prison, and verse 26 of Acts 16. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your house." And they spake to him in the word unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. This guy, the prison guard, was ready to kill himself because it was a capital crime, punishable by death, under Roman law if you lost a prisoner. He was seeking death, and Paul comes to him and says, No. We're all here. And this guy finds life because the gospel was shared and he believed. But most importantly than that, look at the end of verse 31. Paul says, "You shall be saved and your house." You shall be saved and your house. And it doesn't mean that if you give your life to the Lord as a man, that everybody in your house, everybody in your family is automatically saved. But it almost means. It almost means that. Here's a study, and I know Paul didn't say this because he read the statistics I'm about to share. He said this because the Holy Spirit knew what was God's intention. Here's a study. It was done a few years ago, about 8 years ago. And it says that if a child in a family gets saved, there is 3.5% probability for the entire family to get saved. So, unsaved family, not Christian, a child gets saved, 3.5% that the entire family gets saved. If a mother in a same family becomes Christian, the probability of the whole family getting saved is 17%. So that's about five times higher probability. This study found that if a father is the first who becomes Christian, there's a 93% chance that the entire family becomes believers. 26 times higher than if it's a child. Paul knew, the Holy Spirit knew the significance of a man getting saved. Paul knew the significance of a man making a decision for the Lord. Paul knew the significance of a man who's the head of a household. Do we? We find less and less men willing to stand up, to lead, to be what God called us to be. And you know what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing is going to happen. If we don't fulfill the role that God called us to fulfill, nothing is going to happen. Paul didn't say this because he was prophesying. He just knew. I don't know if he knew it was 93% chance, but he knew the significance of a godly man. The problem is that today in our world, men are not there. Sometimes they are not there physically. Sometimes they are there physically, but they are not there mentally. In the last 35 years, between 1970 statistics, between 1972 and 2007, the number of single parent families has risen by 10 times. Now, every fourth kid in Europe, every fourth child in Europe lives without a father. In the Nordic countries, it's every fifth. So 20% of the children live without their fathers. It's just the mother. The father is not there. But even if the father is there, and this is the sad part, then even when the father is there, it's almost as if he is not there. Here's another statistic. The average school-age boy or girl spends half an hour a week in face-to-face conversation with his father. Yeah, compared to 44 hours a week watching television, playing video games, and being on the internet. That's 88 times more. That's because men are not fulfilling the role that God has for men. Or they are leading their children in something bad, which is apathy, which is not standing up and not leading. And because they're aiming for nothing, they're not aiming for spirituality, that's for sure. And because they're aiming for nothing, they'll hit nothing. And their children are going to grow up having issues, because we'll get to that later. And so much research was done. I mean, this didn't start yesterday. This started 30, 40 years ago. And there are groups, Christian research groups who do research, because sooner or later, people, men like this, will end up in church, maybe. And this is what they found. A recent study published in 2010 found this, that guys want to live as kids, as boys, forever. Yeah. Here's some of the... This is the American part of the study. Almost half, about 48% of the American males between 18 and 34, play video games every day for almost 3 hours. This is the average. That means there are some who play for 30 minutes and others who play for 6 hours or 7 hours. The average video game buyer in the world, what do you think? How old? 37. 37. Look at that. Angry Birds. But and here's what there's a really good book out there. It's called Church Planter. It's by Darren Patrick. He says We might solve the problem by modeling biblical manhood and calling adult boys to forsake their youthful lusts and become men that God is calling them to be in the context of the local church. The models should be men of God. Because what's happening is men all over the world want to stay boys. 37, wanting to play video games for 3 hours a day. Because people feel that they are entitled to do that. And they spend half an hour during a 7-day period, not one day, in 7 days, to talk to their children. So men today are either not there for their churches, they're either not there for their families, or they are there, but not really there. And that's a big problem. Because if men are not there, 93% chance of the family getting saved and following God becomes 0%. So if men are not there as leaders, the families are not there to follow. And that's a very big problem. That's a very big issue. And we see that around the world, everywhere. Because guys are failing in every aspect of the world that we live in. In 1970, 40% of the college degrees were earned by women, 60% roughly by men. So 2/5, 3/5. 40-60%. It changed in 40 years to be the opposite. In 40 years, women are earning 60% of all college degrees. This includes doctorates, this includes master's degrees, and 40% is earned by men. Guys became lazy, unmotivated, unwilling to do anything, unwilling to stand up and lead, unwilling to fulfill the roles that God has for men. When Paul spoke about this, he used very, very strong language. Verses. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul uses very, very strong language. The word head in Greek means head, of course. A head of a human being or of an animal. But this phrase was used in connection with capital punishment. Somebody being decapitated or killed. For example, with a guillotine or a sword. So Paul uses this word used only for extreme punishment and says, this is serious. This is serious. I'm seriously telling you that the head in the family, the head in the society, the head in the church should be who? Men. Men. And he tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, not to usurp authority over the men, but to be in silence. I'm not going to talk about the silent part. The word authority here means one who kills another or himself by his own hand. Again, Paul, when talking about the leadership of man, he uses the same strong word. There are other words. There are at least three synonyms for leader or head in Greek, and there are two more synonyms for authority in Greek. But Paul doesn't use those terms. Here, he uses a term that describes somebody who can take away life, somebody who is Lord over life. And he says, I want man to fulfill that role. It was 1 Timothy 2:12. I want man to be in that role. Man should govern. Man should influence. Take care of their families. Take care of the church. Because God ordained it so. This is how God designed us. This is how God designed us. And this doesn't mean any titles. This doesn't mean any salaries. This doesn't mean any benefit. This means we are there and we're doing it. And it's sometimes as simple as a fika, or as simple as a dinner, or as simple as a conversation with people. Here's another study done by the Columbia University. They compared families where family members eat together with families where they don't. And in the first group were families who ate together at least five to seven times a week. So at least one meal a day, lunch or dinner, throughout the week, they ate together. They compared it to families where they ate fewer than three times. So maybe every other day or less. Here's what they found. Children in the families where they didn't eat together, their children smoked four times more. They drank twice as much. They used marijuana 2.5 times more. And four times more drug use was recorded in those families. And what's the difference? We're not talking about Christian families. We're talking about families where men are present to be leaders in their family, fulfilling the role that God has for them, for us. And their children were healthier. Their children were more motivated. Their children used less drug, alcohol, or tobacco. Why? Are these men special? No. They were just there. Were they preaching? No. They were just there as a head of a family. They were there to eat lunch or dinner with their children 5 to 7 times a week. Here's a Swedish study. In 2010, they studied more than 1 million Swedish children between 6 and 19. And they found that kids that were raised by a single parent had a 54% higher chance to become medicated for attention disorder or mood disturbances. Because the father is not there, they needed drugs to help them to deal with life, to be able to focus in school, to be able to survive the world. And that's not because Christians are special. It's not because Christian men are special. I know many Christian men. None of them are too special. Some of them are fairly special, but nobody is, you know. I don't want to offend anyone, any of my friends, but are we special? Do you feel special? I don't know, Tice, do you feel special as a father? No, I don't know, Christian, do you? I don't know. Aaron, do you?
Well, the father, sure, but
are you a better man? It's not about that. It's about being there and fulfilling the role, answering the call that God has for men to lead, to govern. Because if we are not there, if we are not doing it, our families will suffer. And if we are not doing that in the church will suffer. Some call it, it's already happening in the churches where ministry is being feminized. That's what they call it. Because men are not there to fulfill the roles that God called them to. But women are there. And they're doing it because somebody has to. And men are lazy, unmotivated, and they will not do it. So women will. But God called us. God designed it so. God created us so that we should be the ones leading, influencing. That's why Paul is using such a strong language when he says, head, capital punishment, authority. It's the matter of life and death. And it's the matter of spiritual life and death in so many cases. And one author says that he finds that where there is no male leadership, there is no spiritual life. Sooner or later, the church will dwindle down. So, you should feel special. You should feel special because God designed us in such a way that we have to fulfill a special responsibility, a special burden for our families and for our churches. A special responsibility for our society. Christianity will become headless if we don't do this. It will go nowhere. Because we're not doing it. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. A prudent man foresees danger and takes precaution. So, unless we stand up, unless we do it, unless we answer the call of God to leadership, we're not prudent because we see the issue, but we're not doing anything. So we need to stand up. We need to study the Word together. We need to pray together. We need to involve other men in our lives who are willing to challenge us. To challenge us with our weaknesses. pray with us for our weaknesses. Men who are willing to deal with our messy issues. And I'm telling you this because another statistic, only one out of 10 men has a true friend. A friend he is willing to share his most scary secrets with. And you know what? I think this is an exaggeration. I think it's probably most likely half of 10, not one of 10. So maybe, what is that? One in 20. Because we're not, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're not so willing to divulge our secrets, to pray with others, to ask them to pray for our weaknesses, to ask them to keep us accountable, to ask them to study the Word with us or keep watch, because they're our friends. So we need to start doing that, because if we don't, where are we going to end up? Nowhere. Spiritually, we're going nowhere if we don't do this. Women are going to be there. They're going to take the roles that were traditionally, by God, designed for men. They're going to earn the college degrees. They're going to lead the churches. But Paul says, I want men to do that. Why? Because they're special? No. They have special responsibility. That's it. That's how I designed it. That's how it should happen. So, we should prepare. In James 5, verse 16, it says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. An effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So, get together. Get together and pray for each other. Get together and challenge each other. Get together and study the Word together. Get together and confess your sins to one another. Look out for each other. Look out for one another. Challenge others to fulfill the role, the calling that God has for their lives as fathers or as men in their churches. Because more and more, we're seeing less and less of that. And Paul tells the Philippians, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So give others what you are expecting of them. Give them the care you would like to receive. Build deep relationships. And give others permission to speak to into your life. Tell them that it's okay for them to call on your mistakes. Tell them that it's okay to confront. Tell them that it's okay to speak into your life if they don't see you going in the direction you should be going. Because it's about that. Confessing faults to one another, praying for one another, fellowshipping, and being like-minded. A recent book that was published in 2011, it's called, the title is The Demise of Guys. The subtitle is Why Boys Are Struggling and What We Can Do About It. And here's one quote from this book. Guys need more than contacts. They need confidence. They need people who will be there when they are down in the dumps, who can sense their need and recognize changes in their moods without having to ask for them. It is hard and awkward to ask anyone for help. That is why guys need compassionate friends and family who are likely to notice that they need help and who come to their aid. This is a study done by a secular psychologist studying why men are failing. So, unless we want to end up there, unless we want to miss the goal, unless we want to miss the calling that God has for us, ask people to speak into your life. Give them permission to speak into your life. Get together with them and share openly. I know it's scary. It's very scary. It's very scary to be open and let other people speak into your life if they see that something is wrong. And it's not a guy thing, but it needs to be. It needs to be, because if it's not, we may miss the mark. We may miss the mark and not fulfill the role, the calling God has for us. The same guy says that most of these, the guys want to be part of the guy thing, but they're afraid to become so close with their friends because they're afraid that they're going to be perceived gay. So, I don't know. Sometimes I am afraid that my friends are gay, but it doesn't matter. So, be open. Be close. Ask others to pray for you. Pray for them. Challenge them. Because this problem is not going to stop by itself. We need to prepare. And the fact that you are here, the fact that you are saved, the fact that you go to church means that you have answered God's call. So let's become better at it. And let's help other men fulfill their roles as well. Because that's what this world needs. Because we all have a part in God's kingdom. And I don't know if you know Gail Irvin or not. He was at the college for 2 weeks last summer, and he said that he has a guitar with one string, but he gives it all. And he plays it with everything he has. And that one string guitar is his message about the nature of Christ. So it could be that you also only have a one string guitar. Are you playing it as well as you can? Are you, and you definitely have a one-string guitar because God called you, if you wish, ordained you to be an influence in your family, in the society, in the church. If nothing else, that's the one string on your guitar that you have to play. Are you willing? Are you willing to become good at it? Are you willing, as James said, to confess your sins to others and pray together? Are you willing to be like-minded with others and share your heart? Are you willing to be in a close fellowship with others, to challenge each other, to call on their sin, to let them speak into your lives? Because this problem isn't going to go away. It's not going to fix itself. We have to prepare and we have to protect ourselves. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you have friends praying for you, maybe you have done this before. Maybe you have confessed your sins and maybe you feel that that's not enough. That's why it says that the prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Maybe that's the next thing you need to do. Maybe that's the next thing, the next step you have to take. Pray with others, with other men, and ask them to pray for you, to speak into your lives. Psalm 51 says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We can't hide, or actually we can try to hide, but we won't be able to hide effectively. Our sins are going to find us out. And sooner or later, they're going to come out either in our lives, they're going to become visible in our lives or in the lives of our children, in the lives of our community, in the lives of our church community. So let's prevent that. And like Proverbs says, the prudent man sees the problem and prepares. If we don't prepare, what we are creating is a bottomless black hole for counseling. And that's what you will see. That's what we find. Children, wives that need to be counseled over and over again, week after week, book after book you're reading on the topic, and the wife is coming back, the children are coming back, things are not working out. Why? Because the husband, the man, the father isn't there to fulfill the role that God has for men. So let's prepare. Let's prepare by becoming men that God wants us to be. And let's ask others to help us to become such men. Don't be afraid. Nobody's going to think you're gay just because you have good friends. Amen? It's funny to end a Bible study on a gay note, but... do you guys have questions? Does anyone... questions, comments...